Good morning, everyone. I'm calling this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is August 29th. The time is 9:02. I'm going to ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask our Clerk of the Board, Liz King, to lead us in the pledge. And then remain standing for an invocation by Reverend Marvin Jacobo.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please pray with me. Master, thank you for our incredible country. Thank you for the privilege that you gave us to grow up here. For our county, we thank you for the dreams that are here and the dreams that will continue to prosper as these men and women continue to lead us in a manner that will benefit all citizens. I think of this time to thank you that you have raised up Jody to be our executive, and we thank you for the years of investment that he's had in our county, that we continue to raise up men and women from inside to lead us into the future. Give these men and women wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times and communities. Give them wisdom to see a sense of welfare and the true needs of all of our citizens. Thank you for the privilege you give us to respond to them and they to us. And Lord, at this time I pray that these proceedings will be held in a spirit of mutual respect and civility. And may those two things describe how our meetings in our county are held. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for those kind words, Reverend. Thank you, Liz. Okay, we're going to start off with a presentation today. It's the Stanislaus Business Alliance Opportunity Stanislaus, and we have CEO David White will be presenting. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Mr. Hayes, Mr. Doering. It's a great honor to be here today representing Opportunity Stanislaus. Our legal name is the Stanislaus Business Alliance, but we now go as Opportunity Stanislaus. And I'd like to first say that it's been a great pleasure working with you and also your wonderful staff. They do a great job serving our county, and it's a pleasure to be here today. Today is our annual report to the county supervisors. I'll be going through some slides and talking about some of our activities here in the county, and would love to come and visit with you individually and go into more detail. But today, and for brevity of time, I'm going to go through these slides, and if there are any questions at the end, I'd be happy to entertain those questions. To start with, it's just a table of contents. What we'll be going through is talking about our different business units, business development, workforce readiness, talk a little bit about our new training center, Volt Institute. I'm sure you've heard about that. And talking about messaging and also what we do with the Small Business Development Center. And so mainly, I think the last year, the best way to describe it is it's been a year of change and opportunity. The new organization was created in 2016. We separated from the county. We created a new organization that is driven by the private sector. Our board is made up of people from the private sector, some of our great business leaders here in the county. And as such, we're really focused on their needs, making sure that we're meeting the needs of our employers as they go forward in this economy. Just a couple of words about the economy. First, we are experiencing unprecedented growth and opportunity in our county. In fact, we've looked at unemployment statistics, and as far back as we track, we've never seen unemployment this low as it is right now, and with employment gains being made. So it's a good time to be in Stanislaus County. That being said, there's still many people and many companies that are being left behind and need our attention. And so we take that very seriously to make sure that everybody in this county has an opportunity to have a good quality of life. Another interesting stat, this came from the state of California. In the first quarter of 2017, they looked at employment gains, and they found they put each county into different quartiles. Our county was in the upper quartile for economic growth for the first quarter of 2017, and that's on a per capita basis. We even outperformed San Francisco, Silicon Valley, and Los Angeles in terms of per capita numbers of jobs being created. So there is a lot of opportunity right now in Stanislaus County. This is a chart showing our organization. We have our investors, our executive committee, our board of directors. Jeff Grover was just elected as a chairman for one more term. Warren Kirk was elected as vice chair. And then we also brought on new individuals, Susan Hensley from E&J Gallo and Walter Mendez from Crystal Creamery, onto our board of directors. And just yesterday we had an executive committee meeting, and we brought on Stacy Levenfeld from Save Mart Corporation onto our board. We have five business units: administration, business development, workforce development, communications, our marketing team, and our innovation team, which is the Small Business Development Center. First, starting with business development. Business development is really about helping companies grow, attracting new companies to the area, serving the needs of our local companies. We do a very intensive local industry program where we go out and visit companies of all sizes in our county, and not only primary employers, but also retailers and small businesses, just to make sure we're in touch with their needs and understanding what they need to expand. And once we become aware of an expansion opportunity, we serve as an ombudsman to that company to make sure they have the resources they need to expand. So we're working with companies expanding, we're working with companies at risk. You may have heard that Parker Hannifin, Raycor, decided to downsize and relocate their operation. And so we were with them from the day that announcement was made. Our staff was working with them to help find a place for their employees to land in other companies. We also are developing the supply chain. One thing we learned from our manufacturers especially is they would like to have their suppliers nearby. So we're working, trying to bring new suppliers in and helping establish and expand that supply chain. Our attraction strategy is really one to focus on California, focus on companies, especially in the Bay Area, that are being forced out of the Bay Area because of cost, that want to find a good home in a lower cost part of California. And so we've had a lot of success with that in the past. We just recently worked with a company from the East Bay that just located in Turlock, that is a metals manufacturer, that brought 50 jobs over from East Bay. So we're continuing to focus on that and look for those kind of targets. We're also looking to expand our industry clusters, and right now we're very much focused on expanding our ag tech cluster and working with companies in the Bay Area and also in other parts of California to help build that cluster, working with the universities. Our workforce readiness program, we are so grateful to have the opportunity to serve the county and to work with the Department of Workforce Development to bring recruitment and workforce services to our businesses. We were able to win the contract a couple of years ago to provide business services to our employers. And what that means is when an employer is looking to expand and recruit people, they can work with us. We can actually do a turnkey opportunity for them to do the entire recruitment or whatever they want us to do to help in that regard. And last year, I'm pleased to announce that we hit all of our metrics except for two. We came very close, but we hit most of our metrics, and this year we're off to a roaring start, and we'll be able to hit our metrics for next year working with our partners at Department of Workforce Services. I'd like to talk a little bit about VOLT. You've probably heard about this in the media. VOLT is actually a response to what our employers want. And many of our employers are really struggling finding skilled workers for hard to fill positions like maintenance mechanic or electrician. And what's happening is companies are kind of they're stealing and borrowing from each other because they can't find these skills in the community. And so we were asked to put together a training center that is patterned after other similar training centers around the country. And I'm pleased to announce that our VOLT maintenance program, the first program, which will produce maintenance mechanics, will start on October 17th in the Modesto B building. If you haven't been over there, there's a lot of construction, a lot of change going on, and we're going to have the first maintenance class starting on October 17th. That'll be about a half year of training, 400 hours of training, and after that opportunity, they'll be able to land jobs here locally in our county. We estimated that right now there are 200 open, unfilled maintenance mechanic positions in our county. And if you do the math, and you do an economic impact on that, it's about a $50 million impact. If we can fill those jobs, it'll give that much boost to our local economy. So this is a very important program. We're working very closely with our partners at SCO and also the Department of Workforce Development to make this happen. The training center is industry-led. It's nimble. Our trainers have been hired. They come from industry. Our main trainer had experience at ENG Gallo. We just hired another trainer who's the director of training or director of maintenance for Owens, Illinois in Tracy, California. And so we have people who are very relevant who know their stuff. And so we're off and running. This just shows an example of the philosophy behind our training. As part of the maintenance program, they're going to do 5 weeks of what's called a career accelerator program, where they're going to learn how to be good employees, how to show up for work on time, how to dress properly, how to communicate properly, how to work on a team. And then after that, they go into 29 weeks of industry training, which is the first cohort will be maintenance mechanic program. And then once they're done with that, they go into a company, they go into an apprenticeship or an internship or work directly for a company where they'll get their company-specific training. Our byline is buy business for business at the speed of business. And the reason these training centers are developing around the country is because of the pace of change in technology, it's very difficult for traditional institutions to keep up with the pace of that. And so we're working with education to provide this very nimble training. In our messaging area, we are working on a couple of projects that we're very proud about. First is a project to what we call Sell Stanislaus County Locally to help our local citizens understand the great assets and the wonderful qualities we have in our county so that we all can be better ambassadors to talk about our county when we're out in the public. And so we're working on a project to do that, working with some of our investors. And one of the outcomes of Selling Stanislaus Locally will be a hiring guide where it'll be a professional guide that employers can use using the best practices that we've learned through some of our employers on how to attract talent from outside the area. A lot of companies have challenges with that, and we have some best practices, and we're going to share that with all of our employers so that we can be very astute when we're trying to hire from outside the area. We just launched last year a new program called Best Places to Work Central Valley. This is part of a national program based in Pennsylvania where companies can qualify to earn this distinction as a best place to work. This is a tool that you can use for recruitment to let yourself be known as a place that an employee would want to work. It's based on your pay, it's based on benefits, how you establish a live, work, play environment in your organization, and just how the company is doing in terms of as a company, how they're performing. And we had 13 applicants last year. We had 9 companies that were awarded this distinction, which is a very prestigious award. We're only the third place in California that's doing this: San Francisco, Orange County, and now Central Valley. So we're going to continue to build that, and hopefully many companies will apply. And so just some other things, we're working on a multimedia messaging campaign and working on improving our website, telling our experience and our values to the outside world. In entrepreneurship and innovation, we are the host organization for the Valley Sierra Small Business Development Center, which used to be called the Alliance SBDC, but we changed the name to reflect our new brand. And the Valley Sierra Small Business Development Center actually covers 4 counties, not only Stanislaus County, but Merced, Mariposa, and Tuolumne. And we have 36 consultants who are experts in their field who can work with any small business or entrepreneur to give them help in marketing and operations, in accounting, or any kind of business element they need. And we've had lots of success. Right now, we have about 1,000 clients in our portfolio that we're working with on a regular basis. And I just want to announce that last year, our SBDC was ranked the top SBDC in Central California. And that's everything from north of LA, from Grapevine, all the way up to Sacramento and everything in between. So we are very proud of that distinction. And Katie Winders, who was our assistant director of the SBDC, was named the Employee of the Year this last year. So we're highly recognized as an SBDC that is accomplishing great things. And some of the, we also wanted to talk a little bit about our Business Resource Center. I know the county uses our Resource Center very actively. We have a researcher on staff who used to be an employee for the county, just an outstanding individual, April Henderson Potter, who is an expert researcher, knows how to do economic impact studies through MPLAN, and economic and demographic research, economic sector research. So anytime any of you, and I say this also to the departments, if you want some research done, come to us. We have the ability to do these kinds of studies. And finally, I just want to say that we've really enjoyed working with the county in so many ways. I had the opportunity to serve on the Focus on Prevention Stewardship Council. That's been a great opportunity to work with Terry and Stan and others who are part of that, Ruben. And then also, we've worked and collaborated with the county on a new economic development strategy that was just completed, hot off the press, and we just delivered some copies up to the sixth floor. So you'll be seeing those. And then other various research projects through our Business Resource Center. I just could go on and on and talk about all the great things that are happening. It's really about all of us working together. But again, it's such a great honor to be here working with such fine people. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those right now.
David. Yep. Thank you for being here. Great presentation. Just a couple things. The Volt, I want to talk a little bit about that, have you kind of expand on that a little bit. So it begins, the first class is October 17th, you said. Mm-hmm. How many people are going to be in that first class, do you think?
We're going to do two cohorts of 20 people each. It could go up to 25. We already have qualified 8 individuals. We haven't even started the marketing, but we've already have qualified 8 individuals. And we'll have a daytime class and an evening class. The daytime class will be from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and then the evening will be 5:30 to 9:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We were going to try to do 40 hours a week, but then people are working, and you can't expect people to do a daytime job and then to do 40 hours a week in a nighttime training. So we had to modify a little bit. That's why we've had to extend the training to now it's a little bit more than 6 months. But we have the right fit now, and we're getting a lot of exposure. So you'll see a lot more advertisements on that going forward.
Perfect. So 40 in the first cohort.
Two classes, 20 each.
Perfect. And then the cost of that and how that's going to be funded. Talk about that a little bit.
Total cost for the training from the 6 months training is $5,500. That includes the Career Accelerator program. But if you're a company and you're sending incumbent workers, you can pay for a good part of that through what's called employer training panel dollars. This is a training program set aside by the state to pay for incumbent worker training. We're also working with some other parties, some other partners to provide training dollars through other government funds. I can't announce those today because we haven't inked the deal, but we're very close.
Okay, so some companies are sponsoring people that are being sent there, but for somebody to come from the outside, how do they qualify to get into the program, and then how would they be able to pay for it just on their?
There are several qualifications. They need to have either a high school diploma or GED equivalent. They need to be able to get a level 4 qualification on assessment, on a Workies assessment, which is based on math and reading comprehension and being able to obtain information. They need to sign a code of conduct that they will they'll come, and it's going to be set up just like a business. So if they don't show up on time or if they miss, then they could be dismissed from the program. We are working with some banks to provide a low interest loan program that we'll be launching at a later date. For these first few cohorts, a lot of the training will be paid for by other means. So we're trying to establish a level of success first to get it off the ground before we start bringing candidates in from the community itself.
Perfect. And so then it sounds like there's jobs waiting for these people once they get out.
Absolutely. And what they'll see, all the companies that are behind this, they'll see that these companies are very interested in hiring people at the end of the process.
Okay. Great stuff. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Supervisor Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great presentation. First of all, it's really refreshing to see the private sector step up to the plate, as they often do, and say, we're going to start to solve this problem ourselves in order to see our economics grow. So enjoyed hearing all the different aspects of what people are working on. A few questions, though. You mentioned that unemployment in our county is lower than, I believe you said, ever since you were able to look back.
Right.
Do you know what that rate is right now?
Right now it's about 7%. We haven't seen the statistics yet for July. and August. Usually what happens is we hit our high water mark as far as full employment around August, September, and then the season stops and we go back into. But what, one thing that's been really interesting in the last few years is those peaks and valleys are starting to flatten out. And what that tells us is that we're seeing diversification of the economy. What's happening in Patterson with the distribution centers, the healthcare industry, professional services, it's flattening out. And that's a very good thing. And that's really happening in, more so in the northern part of the valley than in the southern part of the valley.
So it's great to hear. I mean, we're fantastic at promoting horror stories when it comes to unemployment and economic challenges, but it's rare that we hear those. So that's
well,
great.
We won't rest until every person in this county is employed.
There we go.
And then we still won't rest.
And how about the average age of the student? What are you anticipating, or what's going to be in the first two cohorts?
Yeah, if we, that's a great question. As we have interviewed other training centers around the country, what we found is that the ideal candidate is that individual who is in her or his 30s, who's realized that, you know what, this job at Starbucks isn't really what I'm cut out for, and I need a career. And so you see a lot of career changers. You also see a lot of people that want to skill up within their own industry. Maybe somebody who's a machine operator who says, you know what, if I go and get that maintenance mechanic job, I can make $20,000 more dollars a year. So that's really the perfect candidate.
Okay, great. And then you mentioned, obviously, there's going to be a mechanics program right now. And in the presentation, it also mentioned that you could build programs such as pipe fitting, et cetera. And so I'm wondering, what is the interplay between these programs at Volt and maybe what you've seen in other parts of the state and state-certified apprenticeship programs?
Good question. So our first three programs are maintenance, mechanics, then we'll do an electrical course, then we'll do a course called mechatronics, which is advanced manufacturing. It's about automation and robotics. And we are working right now with the Department of Workforce Development to work with our local apprenticeship committee to establish apprenticeship programs. So that's really key to have that opportunity. Also, we're unique in that this is an industry-led training center. Most of the time when training centers are established, it's the government that's leading, and then they try to get, you know, business on board. But ours is purely industry-led. That being said, we do have a lot of government partners. So we're working closely with MJC, working closely with the public school districts, with Department of Workforce Development. They're all players. Our steering committee now has 30 people on it, and it's a very active committee. But what's exciting about this is the fact that we are listening to industry, and it's really focused exactly on their needs.
Great. Well, you just answered my question about the universities and colleges, so that's good to hear. Is the State Department being cooperative, and are these programs expected to be open to any and all companies?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it'll be open to all. And we, in fact, you know, sometimes people think, well, this is just for the big corporations. But one of our biggest advocates right now is a company called Alpha Inc. in Turlock. And they're a small company. And in fact, the very first two students came from that company. These were people that had been identified by Mr. Agarwala, who's the CEO, from his company that he wants to train to be maintenance mechanics. So it'll be open to all. We've gotten feedback and interest from Merced County all the way up and down the valley. There's just nothing like this so far. And so we're excited about doing this. Some of our companies are, they're in multiple counties, so they're looking for candidates even outside of our county to qualify.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments? So I love the program. We talked earlier about business retention. It is as important, if not more important, than attracting new business, growing people locally. They're committed to the community. Always keep that in mind. A couple of stories. Yesterday I had high-speed internet actually made it out to my house. I live out in the unincorporated area. So I had a Modesto company come out. It was an installer, subcontractor. And then that was one thing. And then the other thing was my oven went out. It's like a 13-year-old oven, and both of the installer mechanic types came out, both of them carrying a backpack, and not a tool belt, but a backpack, both of them with computers in their hands, tried to set it up. Both of them were babies, as far as I was concerned, probably early 20s, mid-20s, and both of them did great work. So again, it's the paradigm, my idea of what an installer is, someone who comes with a tool belt and drills and crawls around. That's just not the case anymore. So I again, this becomes more and more important, the Volt program, trying to transition to robotics and things of that nature. So I think you're on the cutting edge. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much for that update. Okay, now we'll move on to item four, public comment period. It's an opportunity to speak on anything that is not on today's posted agenda. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes or less and state your name for the record. I have no speaker cards. Public comment? Yeah.
Really nothing.
Do you have just one of them?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident. This just has something to do with some public record requests that I did with the city. It's not a big deal. I only bring it up for actually a good reason. It's kind of curious. I made a little request with them on August 4th. On the 10th, they told me, well, we're going to need another 14 days. So yesterday I got, okay, we're going to accept this. We're going to respond to it. And they spent five paragraphs telling me what they're going to hold back. So, but the reason I mention this is because they're making it more difficult to get information. But I had a question about your agenda today, one item on consent, quite honestly. So I picked up the phone, dialed the number. The man answered. Doesn't happen when you call the city, trust me. He spent 5-10 minutes with me, as he's done many times before, walked me through my questions, asked me questions to make sure I actually understood, because I was just curious about it. The gentleman's name is Matt Machado. I mean, this guy, sometimes I wish he worked for the city, no offense, because you can get some answers from the man. He's helped me many times in the past. It wasn't a big deal. The city doesn't look at things that way, but you guys are open. And I think you'll enjoy the five paragraphs where they don't want to tell you anything. It's amazing. In any case, Matt, I hope it doesn't hurt your career, but I think you're doing a great job, man. Trust me, you got to be careful. Okay. I'm going to speak again. It's kind of timely because I think today is the day that the park goes up for sale, the 29th. I'm still concerned. You know, the term we heard at the time was neighborhood in transition. And I have to wonder how many places that can be applied to. If you want to look at places, let's talk about Wood Colony. Now, you know I support them, so it's not like I'm trying to push them towards the edge. But you could very easily call them a neighborhood in transition. And when we talk about the airport district in particular, you know, when a company comes along and says, I want to buy a county park, I just can't believe that we went along with that. I just can't. Now, I'd have to ask, has anybody done anything about those semis running back and forth, the cutback we talked about from Gallo over to Mitchell? From what I hear from the neighbors, no. They're illegally running 7 days a week, basically 24 hours a day. It tapers off on Sunday, I'll admit. But they get emergency phone calls of their suppliers, they run them over real quick. Come on, they're the big guy in town. But we turn around. And if we're gonna say this is a neighborhood in transition, and we're gonna sell those homes, and we're gonna sell that park, just put up for sale out there. And if you're gonna be responsible for the county's money, your fiduciary responsibility, if you get the number's been bandied about the $400,000, nobody knows what it's gonna be. The idea that you would even consider reinvesting it into that neighborhood is ludicrous, because you've already told us that the families and the kids in that neighborhood do not deserve that park. You've told us that park's kind of roughshod. You didn't mention that the sheriff hasn't made it safe, or that the county crews don't keep it watered enough to have a real nice sod there, or that we haven't just given up and written it off, maybe so the gallows could buy it, I don't know. But if we're going to give them the airport district, let's just do it. Announce the for sale sign, tell the people you don't belong, and let them move out. Withdraw your services, save us all money. But you're not willing to do that because that's not right. It's no more right than selling that park. I don't care who it's to. Parks can't be replaced. No more than prime farmland can be replaced. We saw the Modesto City Council actually play with their general plan. They had a chance to cut Salida and Wood Colony out. Kristi Ayew came forth and put that on the table with Tony Madrigal. We saw the power of five, said no way. Their head spun when she said, let's cut it out. Because it had a litany or a group of people, 15 or 20, came forward and said, hey, let's cut it out of here. So they're still after that land. Just like Gallo was after that park. Now, I hope you'll stand behind Wood Colony and Salida more than you did that park in the airport district. And don't talk after I leave. It's not fair. And I missed you the last time. I'm glad you're back. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Emerson. Anyone else for public comment? All right. Seeing none, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. Would any board member like to pull any items on today's consent calendar? Anyone from the public want to comment on any of the consent calendar items? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I will second that.
We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Lackluster morning. Moving on to B12, approval of the 2017 annual effective partnership, recognition of the Department of Child Support Services and the local hospitals, and the collaboration with the initial outreach. I have a PowerPoint. Pete Duenas will be presenting.
And if I can just share a couple of words,
okay.
As
yep.
Pete says up there. Very excited to see today's presentation and many of the departments that are represented here today that have been working in these important partnership programs. I particularly want to thank our evaluation committee with Supervisor Dick Monteith, Randy Saffold from the City of Modesto, who's here with us this morning, as well as Del Butler from the Latino Emergency Council with us this morning as well. This is truly a partnership effort to recognize amazing partnerships, which is one of the board's specific priority areas, and we always look forward to this year's presentation and nominees, and this year we have a couple of great ones. So we'll go ahead and turn it over to Pete to get us started.
Thank you, Jody. You stole my thunder.
Oh.
I was introducing them, but that's okay. good morning, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Hayes, Mr. Doring, thank you for having us here today. As Josie is stating, this is the eighth annual effective partnership, you know, for the county. We really appreciate all the partners that are involved, and as Jody is alluding to, that many are here today and they'll be acknowledged as we go through this presentation. I'm not going to talk a lot. Today is really about the programs. I want to just go through and start with this quote, as you know, because we really believe that this quote exemplifies what the county's about and how we operate. So I'm going to read it because it's that important. Through our partnerships with government, industry, and community organizations, we want to make a lasting positive contribution to the communities in which we work. And this is by the communication executive, Oliver Roll. Again, in hearing the previous presentation, I think this also relates to that presentation, because we really believe that these partnerships are important. Over the past 8 years, we've had 16 partnerships that have been selected for this award. Through this board's leadership, our organization continues to emphasize the importance of creating and sustaining partnerships to best serve our communities. This year's partnership exhibits the board's goals of working together with private, public, and nonprofit organizations to best serve the citizens of San Luis County. As Jody pointed out, we have the three effective partnership panel members here today. Our champion, of course, Mr. Dick Monteith, Randy Saffold from the City of Modesto, and Dale Butler from the Latino Emergency Council. The evaluation committee has five areas in which they evaluate each committee. You know, and I'm not going to read each one of them, but you're going to see in the course of this presentation by these programs that, you know, they're matching and meeting some of these outcomes that the county looks at to really build on. You know, some of these outcomes are current, and some of these outcomes we anticipate that are going to lead us into the near future with some of the efforts that they're providing. As I stated, Mr. Dick Montes has been our champion over the past 8 years. He represents the board. He leads this panel. You know, when they're evaluating each program that's been submitted, you know, he challenges all of us to really think about how are they really impacting the community. So we appreciate his leadership. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Supervisor Monteith.
Well, first of all, it isn't done by one person. It's by the board. We want to thank all of you and your participation today and over the years that we've had the program. Of all of those who participated, I just want to say thank you. You know, this is a great pleasure that we celebrate the partnership that has been chosen as the 2017 Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors Effective Partnership Award winners. And the winners are the Department of Child Support Service and Hospital Making a Difference for Children, and Stanislaus County Homelessness Initial Outreach and Engagement Center. These partnerships are committed, they're innovative, they're collaborative, and meeting the needs of Stanislaus County residents. For the non-governmental category of the Effective Partnership Award, I'd like to ask Bajet Atwal, Director of the Department of Children's Support Services, to come up and talk briefly about our about your partnership. And you want to be up there on the podium? Here. Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman of the Board. Can you hear me? I'm always told I'm soft-spoken, so how about that? Good morning, Chairman of the Board. Good morning, board members. Good morning, CEO Hayes. Good morning, Mr. Doring. Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm the Director of Department of Child Support Services, Baljeet Atwal, and it's my true pleasure to be here this morning for this award. I'd like to begin, first of all, with acknowledging those who have made this award possible. Right behind me today, we're very fortunate to have representatives with us. Doctors Medical Center, please. If you'll all
stand up.
Get up, please. We have Doctors Medical Center, Emmanuel Medical Center, Kaiser Permanente, Memorial Medical Center. The California Department of Child Support Services wasn't able to make it at such short notice, and of course our very own child support staff, who all together have worked. who all together have worked very diligently on ensuring that paternity for children in our county is established accurately. The Department of Child Support Services and local hospitals work together to promote a healthy community by sharing information with single parents about A, the importance of paternity and being established, and B, by establishing the paternity itself for their newborn children. Paternity declarations are completed when both parents agree on who the biological father is. The declaration allows the father's name to be placed on the birth certificate. However, paternity establishment is more than just a piece of paper with dad's name on it. Establishing paternity promotes a child-father relationship. Studies have shown that fathers are more likely to engage in a child's life if their name is on that paper. It also strengthens the family and encourages contact from the father's side of the family, such as grandparents, and this helps with the child's social and emotional well-being. Paternity establishment allows the child access to family medical history, rights to those social security benefits, rights to veterans benefits, inheritance, and enhances support from both parents. So, about the partnership, we used to have a high rate of what we call unfiled paternity declarations, which were due to inconsistent and incomplete information. At one time, 24% of our declarations didn't make it to the birth certificate level due to certain omissions and errors. This resulted in, of course, fewer children having a dad's name on the certificate. Department staff chose to reach out to the local hospitals and, first of all, improve our communications with them. Along the way, child support staff provided workshops for the hospital staff. They talked about best practices. They got lost on my own notes. Along the way, child support staff provided workshops for the hospital staff to discuss best practices and talked about the positive impact of a complete declaration. They assisted with training, and we worked together to develop mutual goals and expectations. Our partners joined the collaboration efforts fully, and they engaged fully in the process. Since the early days of this partnership, the number of unfiled declarations has fallen, as the chart shows, to down to 3% from that original 24% error rate. This, of course, has resulted in a greater number in the number of children in the community having paternity established. In 2016 alone, 4,097 children were born to single parents in our county. The Child Support Department and our local hospitals worked together to establish paternity for 3,730 of those children. Our successful partnership has created an effective process in which both child support and local hospitals are committed to our mutual goals of educating each single parent about the benefits of establishing paternity, of establishing the paternity correctly, of reporting progress to each other on a monthly basis, all whilst engaging in training as needed. We have established direct contacts for all these partners so that each child and family who needs paternity established has the highest chance of obtaining it in an efficient manner. We at Child Support truly appreciate our partnerships with Emmanuel Medical Center, Doctors Medical Center, Kaiser Permanente of Modesto, and Memorial Medical Center. I thank them for their continued dedication to paternity establishment in Stanislaus County, and I thank you all for your leadership and your support.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the intergovernmental category of the Effective Partnership Award, I'd like to ask Janet Fabella, Housing and Support Service Manager, to come up and talk briefly about the partnership. Janet.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, Supervisors, Chief Executive Officer Jody Hayes, and County Council Doreen. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. Truly excited about presenting to you this project. On behalf of all the initial outreach and engagement center partners, I would like to thank you and the Effective Partnership Recognition Committee for considering our partnership for this award. Our partners are truly excited for the opportunity to be working together to improve efforts around addressing homelessness in our community. I would like to begin also with introducing some of our partners and sharing the collaborative effort. The Initial Outreach and Engagement Center is a true community-wide multi-sector effort and partnership. It is the result of the Stanislaus County Focus on Prevention Initiative and the collaboration of multiple partners, including Stanislaus County Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Stanislaus County Community Services Agency, Stanislaus County Chief Executive Office, Stanislaus County Superior Court, two Sutter Health affiliates in Stanislaus County, Memorial Medical Center and Sutter Gold Medical Foundation, and Credit Bureau advisors through the Stanislaus Community Foundation, and the support of multi-sector community partners and homelessness service providers. I would like to recognize and extend profound gratitude to the project team who have put in many hours during this last year to make this project what it is today. And I would like to thank Alma Torres, Matt Dillon, Pam Esparza, Richard DeGette, Carol Benefield, Ed Cuella, Sheree Dockery, Deborah Buckles, Irene Lopez, Elsa Bidenweg, Teresa Vanderveen, Leticia Lomeli, Joel Ward, Patrice Dietrich, Ruben Imperial, Catherine Harwell, Andy Johnson, Patricia Hill-Thomas, and a special thank you to the following project team members: Jason Roberts, Randy Cavanaugh, Doug Holcomb, Dan Wartz. They spent numerous hours making sure the facility was ready and well-equipped for staff by the day of the launch. And I would also like to thank the heart of the Outreach and Engagement Center, the first group of outreach staff that has been co-located at the center, who are the ones going out into the field connecting with individuals and facilitating those connections to services. I want to thank Virginia Carney, Jimmy Yarnell, Randy Lindbergh, Maria Madrigal, AJ Ward, as well as their managers, Erica Aguilar, Lily Pulido, Kelly Alvarado, Wes McKenzie, and Alma Torres. If they can all stand, I'm truly grateful for all of their efforts. They have really made this project happen. The initial outreach and engagement center is located at 825 12th Street in Modesto and launched August 1st of this year. Outreach and engagement efforts allow communities to provide services directly to people experiencing homelessness who otherwise might not seek out services, and they facilitate connections to housing and necessary supports. Instead of waiting for individuals to come in for services, outreach and engagement staff are currently seeking people out in the community in a strategic and coordinated effort with other partner outreach teams and service providers, meeting people where they are, building trusting relationships, and facilitating connections to housing and necessary supports. Beginning October 2017, the center will be open for walk-in services and will provide a physical entry point that centralizes and facilitates those connections to housing and necessary supports and provides assessments, referrals, and navigation to a wide range of homelessness services. The next slide provides a snapshot of homelessness in Stanislaus County for the past couple years per the point in time count that takes place in January. Although an increase in the number of people experiencing homelessness is identified from 2016 to 2017, we think this is partially due to having a much larger number of community volunteers assisting with the surveys in 2017. And when we see these numbers, many of us might have an idea of who we're doing outreach to. The reality is the outreach team is really reaching out to individuals from youth to seniors to many families who have a single source of income, some of which are working at some of our big box stores in our community and trying to raise a family and are having challenges with securing affordable housing. And that is why I'm truly grateful that we've partnered with this effort. Many of our staff is out in the field working with these families, trying to facilitate that connection and advocating for the gaps in housing that we're currently experiencing in our community. The outcomes that we continue to expect through the initial outreach and engagement center partnership efforts is increased access to housing and community support services for those experiencing homelessness and an increase in the number of individuals and families at risk who are diverted from homelessness. The partnership vision is through dignity and respect, empowering people at risk or experiencing homelessness towards a hopeful and independent life. This effort is not about the building. It's truly about the partnership, collaboration, and willingness to serve and build hopefulness in our community. On behalf of all the initial Outreach and Engagement Center partners, thank you for your leadership and support in the focus on prevention efforts. We are grateful and excited to be collaborating in an effort to make a difference in our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you very much.
In conclusion, we'd like to ask the board to accept these programs of the 2017 Effective Partnership Award winners. Back to
okay. I'm going to allow the board member to comment really quick. Supervisor Withrow.
I just had a quick question back on the paternity thing. That just amazed me when I read this, the 24%. So one in four, almost one in four of new babies in this county, the paperwork for the actual dad wasn't done, so you weren't really certain who the dad was. And so I just was curious, was it just really more work with the mothers to get them to identify the dad, or how did you guys go about bringing that number down so much?
To the mic.
Sorry.
Mostly, again, it goes back to building those partnerships. You know, in the past, we just kind of, hate to say, worked in silos, did our work, passed on those paternity declarations to the state who filed them in a system. Just being able to educate and improve on the training and helping the hospital staff who were working on completing these forms and sending them out, not really knowing what the true impact was, helped reduce some of those omissions and clean up the paperwork and streamline the process at the same time.
That's great. And I would think that not only just, you know, for the dollar amount to try to have somebody to pursue to help pay, but probably just to get the dad involved, you know, it probably just makes all the difference in the world just to force that issue until you find out who, you know.
Makes a difference.
Yeah. So that was, anyway, I just, my simple mind is, holy cow, you know. So anyway, thank you guys. Great work with that. And then, of course, with our Outreach and Engagement Center, couldn't be more proud of what's going on there, the work we've started there, and all the great things. And it's just the beginning. We've just started. We have so many accomplishments we're going to make there. And I know we'll eventually, hopefully, have a instead of our temporary building that we have here, someday we're going to have a center, a full coordinated access center there going too. So thank you guys for all the work you're doing and getting this thing up and running. Like, again, it's just the beginning. So very proud of everybody here today.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of partnerships, a lot of decision making that comes before the panel, but we should be having literally tens, if not hundreds, of these. If I just listen to what Baljeet said about it, improving the process, that's what we've done. We've improved the process through a partnership, public-private partnership, and you can see how powerful it is. And so we all need to be thinking, including us up here, all of our frontline staff, you folks in the hospital, all our partners with the homeless center. We got to be thinking about opportunities where we can make things more efficient constantly. So I appreciate everything you did. These are two very well-deserving and wonderful programs. So with that, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve.
Don't move.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. And now we're going to ask Supervisor Monteith to go down. He's got some awards he wants to present.
Yeah, well, Baljeet and Janet, step forward over here, Will. First of all, before I make the presentation, I just want to thank everyone involved, and over the years this program's gone on. One thing that a lot of people in Stanislaus County don't recognize is some of the challenges that we have, and that this county, not just by government, but the people realize that everyone is of value. And when you realize that, people step forward, as you've seen. There's not just one person doing this. It's multitude of people getting involved. And they understand that if we're going to be the county we expect to be, that we need to reach out and help those who, for one reason or other, have made some poor choices or made some wrong decisions. And in that comment, I also want to point out, I don't think anyone in this room has never made a mistake or made a poor choice. I don't think anyone in this room can say, I will never make a poor choice again. It's part of nature. But we realize that some people don't recognize the problem and do not have the understanding that needs, and they need guiding. So it's always a pleasure to present the recognition by the Board of Supervisors in the panel in addressing all of you who step forward and make these contributions. And as time goes on, it's not just today. We know that you continue on and fulfill those needs. So I just want to thank you and present you. Let's see here. With this certificate. Recognition, and keep up the good work, and keep smiling. You have a lovely smile. You go right ahead.
I was just going to say thank you once again for the award, and I am just one representative, as just mentioned. Couldn't do it without any of the partners, any of the staff. Big shout out, Tina's not here, but Tina's with the CEO's office, and Tamara, who started this initiative. Thank you very much. We are just continuing the work too. And if the group would just come in and come up, and I'd love to have a group picture with all the partners, please.
I want to get all of you in here.
Congratulations once again. Jeanette? Once again, all that I said applies to you also. And we thank the community in stepping forward and for your leadership. And it's always our pleasure to present you with this certificate of recognition by the Board of Supervisors and the panel. And we thank you so much for your accomplishment. And just keep up the good work and keep smiling.
Thank you. I just want to thank all of the partners. I reiterate what was just said before me. Without the partners, this would have not become a reality. And I'd also like for all of them to come up and join me for a picture. And just want to say thank you for all your efforts.
You all come up.
Get in there.
Well, well, that is, well. As you see, it takes more than one person. Thank you. Congratulations.
Okay. Before everyone leaves, just one last thing I want to say. There's the evaluation panel, and we talk about a partnership. What's a better partnership than our evaluation panel? So on the Board of Supervisors, we have, all five of us have committee assignments, about 10 to 15 committee assignments apiece. Supervisor Monteith for the last 8 years has handled this one flawlessly, handling the panel and picking. And so I want to thank you on behalf of the Board of Supervisors. I have a little memento here for you, so come back up. And then we also have Randy Saffold from the city of Modesto, who has always been gracious for the last few years. And then we have Dale Butler from the Latino Emergency Council, former county employee. Again, they give of their time to go through and judge these things. I've heard from time to time it's very difficult to choose. And so on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, again, I want to thank each one of you for your service to this county, and keep up the great work on our behalf. Appreciate it. And let's get in here and take a quick question.
Thank you.
So here we go. Dale? Thank you. I guess we're moving on to correspondence.
This board has received resolutions from the Stanislaus County Board of Education, Grattan Elementary School District, and Chatham Union School District requesting the change of their governing board member elections from odd-numbered to even-numbered years.
Referred to the clerk, recorder, and registrar of voters.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? I just had a really funny thing happen today. We have Sal Baruman in the back of the room, who is our deputy watching over us. Thank you, Sal. So I went up and introduced myself, and he said, our kids used to sing together. Olivia and Jackson, his children, sang at the Gaslight Theater with my daughter Caroline, and they said to say hello. I texted them that picture. So anyways, I haven't seen Sal in probably 15 or 20 years. Great to have you here today. And that's it, and I'll turn it over to a legislative fiscal management report.
Nothing to report this morning.
Okay. And we do have a closed session. Council Doring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have conference with legal counsel this morning pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. This is a significant exposure to litigation involving three matters related to claims of violation of various employment law rights. We do not expect a report out on this matter, and it's appropriate to ask if there are any public comments prior to adjournment.
Any public comments? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.